Jeff Hawkins, what is the most interesting thing in WWE NXT right now?
For me, at least, Asuka and Nikki Cross.
What is the most interesting thing in WWE Raw right now?
In Raw right now, probably Braun Strowman.
And what would be the most interesting thing on WWE SmackDown?
Or Samoa Joe. SmackDown, it would be The Miz.
So you put all these three things together: Asuka, Nikki Cross, The Miz, and Braun Strowman. What is the winner? What is the most interesting thing in all of WWE right now?
You're gonna tell me Baron Corbin, right?
I'm not going to tell. I'm asking you. I'm not going to tell you
I don't
anything.
know. It's a personal preference thing. The most interesting thing, you know what? I'm probably wrong on all counts. It's probably Samoa Joe, to be honest with you.
I think Samoa Joe coming in at the end of Raw made people feel like that Raw was better than it was. And that's fine. That's the way it usually goes when your most important thing happens at the end and people get excited. Like, you can sit through 2.5 hours of something that's average and have a killer ending and everyone walks away super excited. Same thing for the opposite. When you have 2.5 hours of greatness and then the last hour and a half is pretty boring, not even pretty boring, but maybe not what people expected. That's kind of how the Royal Rumble was. I saw people so joyous about the Royal Rumble all night long until Roman Reigns was number 30. I mean, Roman Reigns was number 30. He didn't win, but because he was number 30, so many people were disappointed. And Randy Orton ends up winning. And then the next night, you have Samoa Joe debuting as Triple H's henchman. And it looks like we're going to get Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins at some point. Probably Fastlane, you'd have to say, right?
Yes.
And then the eventual Triple H. It's funny too that Samoa Joe comes in all hyped. If Triple H and Seth Rollins is the match at WrestleMania, then Samoa Joe loses at Fastlane, no?
Or Triple H interferes. They
Samoa
can
Joe gets
save
the
it.
victory, and yeah.
What DQ loss? I mean, it's fine if he loses by DQ, but not, I don't think it's going to be a clean pin. You didn't like that Raw, huh?
I no, I'm just saying, it was an average draw to me. I mean, it was fine. It
I thought it
was
was way above average. I think they
really.
hit a lot of good things on there. I do. I think the Paul Heyman promo was pretty darn good. I think they hit all the right notes on Bayley for once in their life. I mean, that's like the one tweet I had about it was, you know, that moment where she went after Luke Gallows. That's how you write Bayley. She's an anime character. She's all hugs and stuff, and then you tick her off, and she's ready to throw down. I thought she was great. She's the Mary Tyler Moore of WWE or what have you. I thought they hit a nice subtlety with the Sasha relationship with her. I think, you know, what they did with Nia was fine. I thought, I mean, what were some other things? What they did with Braun and Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, I thought was pretty good. You know what? I think you're shading this a little.
Well, that's fine. There you
I'm a
go.
cynic.
Usually I'm the most positive one on Raws.
I thought SmackDown was kind of, I mean, the matches were okay, but I mean, they set up what they needed to set up. It wasn't anything special, but it wasn't anything bad either. I thought
I mean, yeah, we have 12
Naomi
days
was,
until a pay-per-view. I
yeah,
mean,
Naomi, yeah, that's what they're doing. Is they're rushing it, which is the problem. I
we have
thought
one.
Naomi
We have
was good.
next
I
week.
thought
Next week is the
Ellsworth.
go home show. Next week is the go home show for this pay-per-view. I feel like we just had Royal Rumble. Next week is the go home for the Elimination Chamber, which is not just a filler pay-per-view when you consider that we're going to find out the main event of WrestleMania on this show.
No,
You don't
not
think?
necessarily.
I think we are. I think we're finding out the main event of WrestleMania at and when we talked about this on the Fightful post show on Sunday night, is that when I say main event, I mean the SmackDown main event. It may not be the last match at WrestleMania, but we're going to find out what, you know, opponent Royal or Randy Orton has. We're
I
going to find
don't
out who
think
the
so.
champion is.
I don't think so. I think they left themselves an out.
How so?
In the opening segment of SmackDown today, they put that AJ Styles' rematch clause will not be the part in will not be the Elimination Chamber. He will have a rematch if he wants it after the Elimination Chamber. They have an out to do something for a transitional champion of some way to get to another match if they want to.
What, you think that AJ Styles has the possibility of winning the championship back?
Yes.
Is that your out?
There's a possibility. I'm just saying there's a possibility. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm saying there's it's something that they have if they decide to change their minds, which they often do.
To me, I think we're getting whoever the winner of the Elimination Chamber match is the one facing Randy Orton. But at the same time, I know we're going to have, what, 7 or 8 weeks in between that show and the WrestleMania pay-per-view. So there is
plenty time. Of time.
There is time. A lot of time. So this week's episode, Shake Them Ropes 194. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I am Rob. That is Jeff. You can follow us on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. Follow Jeff on Twitter at CrapGame13. Catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, everywhere podcasts are sold for free. Wanted to open up with that question about the most interesting thing, because there's a lot going on. I mean, Wednesday night, we're releasing this late Tuesday night, recording this right after SmackDown. Tomorrow night, there is NXT TV tapings in Full Sail University. So we're going to find out kind of the direction about NXT going into February and March. I don't know if we're going to get really the main events or all of them for the TakeOver show in Orlando, but we could get at least a special match. I don't know. We could find out what's happening there. So a lot going on this week. To fill out the, we talked about it on Sunday night, and the ending of this episode, after we talk about the current events of this week, we are going to attach and replay Sunday night's recording that we did with Alex Pulowski of Fightful. We were live on Sunday night talking about the Royal Rumble. The 2017 Royal Rumble victorious was Randy Orton on that show. We are going to talk about that show. We're going to post the audio recording of that as the end of this episode of Shake Them Rope. So you'll get to hear our full show from Sunday night talking all things Royal Rumble. So we'll save this first portion for Raw and SmackDown. Also, our top 100 match is Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat from Clash of the Champions 6, a part of the trilogy many people look at as one of the greatest trilogies of all time, or one of the greatest series of matches of all time in pro wrestling, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat. Before we get into the rest of the big things this week, Jeff, I wanted to go over all the winners of the Shake Them Ropes Royal Rumble pools. As some of you may know, if you listen to our show on Sunday or if you followed along to social media, the Tino Sabatelli celebration pool was won by myself. I drew number 23. Randy Orton drew number 23. I was victorious. I actually won a Royal Rumble pool. I did not think that was going to happen. Jeff, was it rigged?
No.
That's right.
I don't think so.
No, I got the numbers from Ernst & Young. I just take what they give me. That's all. I just take what they give me. So to go over the list of winners, though, because we had different side prizes for the runner-up, the most eliminations, the shortest reign, the Kane prize, which, I mean, that's one of the shockers of the night, Jeff, that Kane wasn't in the Royal Rumble. I got to say.
Oh, I agree.
I was shocked. So,
especially with all the big guys they had in there. I'm shocked.
Oh my God. I know. Just to come in there and face off with Braun Strowman randomly.
You could have replaced Kalisto or
Apollo Crews.
Yeah.
Hell, did Dolph Ziggler really need to be in? Did Dolph really need to be in that match? Probably not. No. Honestly, did Ty Dillinger have to be in that match? No. We'll start with the Tino Sabatelli celebration pool, the Rob McCarron Memorial. Tino Sabatelli celebration pool was won by myself. The runner-up was Jeremy Sexton coming in at number 30. He was the winner of $20 prize. The most eliminations, Steve Tanico, you get a $10 prize. The shortest reign, Sarah Keneally. The shortest reign was James Ellsworth by just a couple of seconds, beating out Enzo Amore. So at number 11, the shortest reign, you get the prize there, Sarah Keneally. And then the Kane prize, we substituted Big Show. If you listened to our podcast last week, it was the Kane prize, but if Kane wasn't in the Rumble, you get Big Show's number. So Big Show was the substitute. Chris Lazito, you are the winner of a $10 prize. Moving on to the Jeff Hawkins Memorial Pool.
Hold on.
What's up?
What are you doing with the 100?
I don't know yet. I can't keep it. I told the world that I wouldn't. Right. So I don't know. We're going to have to figure out something. We're going to have to figure out a giveaway. Maybe I'll have to use the $100 to buy a prize that we use for like a WrestleMania giveaway or something. I'll have to use it and set, give it to the people in some way. I just haven't figured that out yet.
Roll it over.
I could roll it over to next year's prize where it's just a jumbo. It's like the 40-man rumble. It's just the biggest rumble prize ever. We'll figure something out. We might have some type of WrestleMania thing going on. I don't know. But we'll figure it out. Right now, it's going to stay in the pool of money. It's not going to go into the bank account. Nope. I'm not doing that. Some people suggested that I use them to buy different ingredients to make something of a hat, some type of hat dish. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know. Jeff, you didn't win any prizes, I'm sorry to say.
Okay. What am I supposed to say to that? I did not win. I think you did rig me to get an early number, and that's fine.
I ended
up with Jack Gallagher, of all people, the one cruiserweight, so he could do prop comedy.
I got to tell you, there were three earlier numbers that won prizes. Number 7 won a prize, number 11 won a prize, and number 9 won a prize. So the earlier numbers weren't that bad to have.
You're not sating my love for cash, Rob.
Yeah, no. It is ironic that I won and you won no prizes when you were gleefully exclaiming that you would take all the money and run.
I should take your 100 from here.
You probably should.
Yeah.
Probably should. It's about time I gave you something. The winner of the Jeff Hawkins Memorial Pool was number 23, Tracy Allen. Congratulations, Tracy Allen, on being victorious. You get the $100 prize plus the Prince Puma autograph poster care of Lucha Underground. Most eliminations, Michael Levy. Rachel Hark came in at number 30. She was the runner-up prize. So Rachel Hark, congratulations. Josh Allen was the shortest reign. And then the Kane prize went to Alfred Areola. So congratulations to Josh, Alfred, Rachel, Michael, and Tracy on your victories over Jeff Hawkins in the Jeff Hawkins Memorial Pool. That was the Royal Rumble prize. We got two pools going. I want to thank everyone who played. We'll try to do it again next year. But that was it turned out pretty well, Jeff. Maybe next year we might even get three pools.
Yes.
And I'll
we could get 30 pools, and we could get the winners of all 30 pools in its own pool.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. If I can make this like a World War III type situation, that'd be so cool. It was always one of my favorite pay-per-views, I gotta say.
So the one part of the weekend we didn't go over on Sunday, for you at least, have you watched NXT TakeOver?
I did not watch it in full. I kind
never
of
never mind the old, then. Move on.
I mean, I know what happened. I know I got to watch the DIY match. It doesn't feel like I really have to watch Shinsuke versus Bobby Roode, but
you know what? It over-delivered. It really did. It was not the dud or the boring show or the that's it, the underwhelming thing that people were expecting. It lived up. It wasn't. I'll put it this way. There was no match you walked away and went, man, that's the most awesome thing I ever saw. It'll be in my top 10 of the year. But everything was very, very good. Even the four-way women's match, which was possibly my favorite match of the night.
Yeah, I'll go back and watch it at some point. I had other commitments on Saturday, and then Sunday was full of, Royal Rumble. It was 6 hours long, so it was a long day.
I didn't mean to out you like that. I'm sorry.
I mean, you know, I wasn't doing, we were doing the post-Rumble show and NXT. We'll talk about NXT as it goes along. So there's just a lot of stuff going on as we headed to April. But, you know, I felt like we ended up getting a new champion, Bobby Roode. I can't remember if I thought, I honestly can't remember if I thought that Bobby Roode was going to win. I mean, it was kind of 50-50 going into the show, right? You know, it could go either way. Yeah. It's surprising for the fact that if Cassius Ohno comes in and they want to do Cassius Ohno, Shinsuke Nakamura, they're going full on dream matches from this point on until Shinsuke is out of NXT. They're just going to do the pay-per-view specialty. He's not going to be in the title contention. It's just going to be whatever match Shinsuke is in that dream match category or the special attraction match category. Kind of like whenever John Cena wasn't champion and John Cena had other things going on, you had to find creative ways to not put him in the title contention. That's what they're going to have to do with Shinsuke Nakamura. Find creative ways to make sure he's not in the title picture.
I would agree with that. They'll probably pick up whoever's the hot indie star or whatever for a one-off with Shinsuke or WWE maybe wants to do a match.
I got
to
say, Cassius Ohno and Shinsuke Nakamura is probably one of your big matches coming in at NXT TakeOver. I'd say that's the big one. I don't know what you do with Bobby Roode, though. What's next for Bobby Roode? Who's his challenger?
I took a wild guess. I think it might be Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see a Ty Dillinger, Bobby Roode for the title program just yet. They just got done.
I don't know what to expect. So the TV tapings will be interesting. Yeah, I thought Samoa Joe debuting as Triple H's henchman, that was the big thing on Raw. I heard you guys talking. I caught a little bit of your podcast on Fightful after SmackDown and talking about, you know, the continuing situation of Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin possibly happening at WrestleMania in a match. And you brought up the idea that maybe they're just both in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and they face off and they might be the final two or might have a big situation. Do you think that's more likely than them having a match, or is something else on the table for all of them?
I really don't know. I think it's more likely that they're in the Battle Royal together because we have so many individual matches already and special attractions. And of course you need a half hour entrance for half these guys. So
yeah, I can't wait for Randy Orton's half hour entrance. I'm really psyched. Really, really excited about that one. I posted on Twitter today.
Uh-oh.
I know, it's always dangerous when I do so. Always dangerous. I don't even know what precipitated this. But I posted a poll. Do you enjoy watching Baron Corbin wrestle? Very simple. At Shake Them Ropes was the poll. I put up three options. Do you enjoy watching Baron Corbin wrestle? Option one, yes, because of Baron. Option two, yes, because of his opponents. Or no, never. And Jeff, about 80% of the responders said one of the yes options. 20% said no, never. But out of that, 60% of the full poll results came back saying yes because of Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin's got fans.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting
popular. I don't deny that. I don't like watching Baron week to week, but I think Baron in big matches and in, you know, the prime slots, I think he's pretty darn good. I think his problem is he's the strong, silent, lone wolf type, and they put him out week after week after week, so he gets a bit overexposed.
The problem I have, and I'm a Baron Corbin fan, as you all know. The problem I have, though, Baron and Braun seems to me not to be the best option for a WrestleMania one-on-one. I mean, a lot of Baron's matches are with guys like Apollo Crews or guy, you know, John Cena, AJ Styles, the guys who can control matches, the guys who are fluid, mm-hmm. the guys who know what they're doing. He had the match with Rhino and it wasn't awful, but Rhino's been in the business for a long time. Braun Strowman, Baron Corbin can die a death out there, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
And no amount of Baron greatness or Braun greatness for that matter, because Braun's really good at certain things. Braun's good at being Braun. I don't know if he's good at being pro wrestler guy. That match would die a death if it's one-on-one at WrestleMania. And I think everyone knows that. So putting them in an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal face-off is probably more likely.
Yeah. Ziggler bounced around really well for Corbin, as did, I believe Zack Ryder did at one point as well too. So, I mean, those smaller guys who will take Baron's offense and who he doesn't have to necessarily lift up too hard and can just use the momentum for end of days. Braun has that kind of clubbing offense that's really good and really strong. And you know, guys like Owens and Reigns getting beat on and beat down, it looks really, really good. And even Sami Zayn. So, yeah, I think it's Battle Royal is probably – and they'll probably end up eliminating each other in some way and keep that kind of mystery going as to will they or won't they ever face one another. I think that's the way to go.
If Baron Corbin hits the end of days on Braun Strowman, that's your WrestleMania moment of the year.
Oof.
Oh, I'd love it. Because he's hit that on some big guys before. He's hit that on
Ryan. Has he hit that on Kane?
I believe. Did he hit it on Kane? He may have. I don't know. I don't remember a Kane one. I think the biggest guy that I remember him hitting that on is Rhino. And maybe he hit it on Samoa Joe. I seem to recall Samoa Joe
one. Yes, I remember Samoa Joe. Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, and we were even wondering then, like, is that possible? Is that going to happen? This is actually what precipitated that poll question being brought up. is a lot of people are talking about Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer, on his radio show, I think post-Royal Rumble, maybe post-Raw, talked about how John Cena's currently planned WrestleMania match would be a disappointment to many. And that led to people believing that it might be John Cena versus Baron Corbin. And that would not be a disappointment to me. I thought a John Cena-Baron Corbin match would be super interesting because Baron Corbin can wrestle guys like that and have really fun matches. And it's you're trusting Baron Corbin to go out there to have a 15-minute WrestleMania match with John Cena. And any John Cena match is one of the most important matches. So I thought that would be super interesting. And then the people, a few people had some blowback on that. Like that would be boring. That is a disappointment. Baron Corbin doesn't deserve that spot. So I put a poll out there. Simply, do you enjoy watching Baron Corbin wrestle? And the results surprised a lot of people. I didn't think it would be as positive as it is, but yeah, 80% of the people saying, yes, I enjoy watching Baron Corbin wrestle. So there you go. But if Baron Corbin and John Cena is not the match, the other rumor making its way around now, talking about a disappointing John Cena match. What do you think of this, Jeff? John Cena and Nikki Bella in a mixed tag with The Miz and Maurice happening at WrestleMania. Because there are people going out on the line, and including a former WWE writer, that say this is the plan.
You're not going to get big match John, but I'll tell you something. I think Miz could talk you into the building on that one. I think I'm not, let's put it this way, I'm not rushing out to pay money to go see that necessarily. It'll be a fun type of thing. I don't, you know, Maurice is kind of a wild card here because she's the only one not really, you know, regularly performing in the ring. But she, you know, she's been there, so she kind of knows what she's doing.
It's like riding a bike.
It depends what, it always depends on what Miz they allow them to unleash here, because it always seems like they want to, every time Miz has a really intense promo, then they feel they need to sports entertainment him up because he was way too intense on talking smack or something to that effect. They always kind of go, oh wait, that felt a little too real, we need to ham it up a bit here and make sure everybody knows Miz is more of a flake than a really intense, serious guy, and kind of ruins it for me. But Cena's going to be, that promo tonight, I absolutely hated that promo because it made things worse, in my opinion, from the burial from last week of AJ Styles. I think it just drew attention to the fact that, yeah, I went a little bit too far in how, you know, we made AJ an unknown, and it was too, as I like to say, it was too sincere by half. It was like, man, he's really good. No, really, he's the best superstar I've ever fought. No, really, he is one of the greatest WWE superstars of all time. And you're just like, man, once would have been fine, John. Thanks. Thanks for giving the rub to the kid.
The kid who is older?
And isn't better.
AJ older?
Yes.
Yeah. They're pretty similar.
James Ellsworth is a damn god. That's all I'm going to say.
Coming around on James Ellsworth. Were you ever negative on James?
I don't like his delivery a lot of times, but it's become so bad it's good, like through the looking glass. Like, I thought the sketch last week in the dressing room, look, a lot about that turned me off because the stereotypical gay character I thought was, you know, a little too clever by half. And Ellsworth's delivery is so terrible and so stilted. It's so obviously put upon. This week, he was fantastic. When he said, my boo, I cracked up. And his his interference, and combined that with JBL finding his rhythm on commentary whenever Ellsworth is out there. I thought that was a whole great segment. That and Miz on commentary. Miz and Corbin's interaction I thought was fantastic too. Those were the things for me that saved SmackDown for the most part, other than a really great performance by Naomi.
Well, back to the Miz there. Somehow, if John Cena and Nikki Bella are going to get in the ring with Miz and Maurice at WrestleMania, and that I feel would be a spectacle, they got to cut this thing off with Natalya and Nikki Bella, and they're going to have a match at Elimination Chamber here in a week and a half. But you also got to get Miz back in the feud with John Cena, and the Miz is going to be in the Elimination Chamber match. So the Elimination Chamber match can be setting up all these directions for WrestleMania. The Elimination Chamber match, John Cena versus AJ Styles versus Bray Wyatt versus Baron Corbin versus Miz versus Dean Ambrose.
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen if it's that Cena, Nikki versus Maryse and Miz feud, is that Maryse is basically going to recycle all of Natty's lines about Nikki. Yeah. And then John Cena is going to absolutely cut Miz's balls off in a promo.
Probably. I would say that's likely. John Cena is not going to lose, I don't think, but he lost tonight on SmackDown, taking the pinfall too. John Cena, the champ. And sometimes the champion just has to job. That's why I'm amazed by this AJ Styles run, honestly, because AJ didn't lose matches. AJ was booked like a champion.
They made him credible. Yeah. And John Cena loses in multi-person matches to give doubt somehow. But I think, as we were discussing Sunday, I think they're at least teasing Randy Orton and John Cena.
Yeah. Well, you got to. I mean, Randy Orton won the Royal Rumble. We were talking about WrestleMania 2001, WrestleMania X7, and how just everything didn't shape up until the end of February for that card because you had no idea what was going on. Triple H was wrestling in title matches. Kurt Angle was the champion in February leading into WrestleMania 21 when you ended up having WrestleMania 17 when you ended up having The Rock and Steve Austin in there. So there is time. They're back to the cycle where you're not going to build up the main event for 3 months. It's going to happen at the end of February into early March, and that's when you're going to actually know the matches on here. One match we know is Goldberg Brock Lesnar. That match is happening at WrestleMania. The challenge was laid out on Raw. Goldberg's going to be on Raw next week. Goldberg Brock Lesnar 3, over under on the match length, Jeff, 5.5 minutes.
I'll bet the under. I'll bet 5 minutes exactly.
I don't think it's going on last, that's for sure. So I think you can get away with a shorter match. But if the whole story is about how Goldberg is this wall and Brock Lesnar can't break through this wall, Brock Lesnar's got to win. Brock Lesnar's got to win, and he's got to break through the wall, or else it's kind of a dud of a story. Goldberg just beats him 3 times really quickly and then never again. Like, what would that be?
It would be against type for Vince to let a WCW guy do that, but... it'd be interesting. I'll tell you that much. It would put in doubt. I mean, look, you know what? They may do that, and I'll tell you why. Because Brock's suspension is up in July, and he may be fighting. That may be a perfect excuse for him to go away for a while.
I don't think he's ever fighting again in UFC.
I don't think so either.
I mean, the paydays are there, but I don't see it.
I'm putting that possibility out there.
All right. The other match made after SmackDown for Elimination Chamber, Tag Team Turmoil, American Alpha versus the Usos versus the Ascension versus the Vaudevillains versus Heath Slater and Rhino versus Breezango. So all of the teams on SmackDown basically going to be in this Tag Team Turmoil match. And I asked the question, Jeff, we're going to get like an Apollo Crews singles match. We're going to get a Kalisto singles match. We're going to get these. This is a brand split pay-per-view if I've ever seen one. When you have so many guys tied up into 2 matches on this card, you're going to get some pretty weak undercard matches. You're probably going to get a 205 live match on here. I don't know if it can be the Cruiserweight title match because that's the whole Raw thing. But what else are they going to put on here?
That tag division after the Usos and American Alpha is absolute garbage right now.
Can you debut a new team? Can you debut an Authors of Pain? Can you debut a Johnny Gargano? Can you debut the Revival?
You could. You could very well. I mean, for me, it would have to be a heel team. And the way you do it is you have the Usos lose first. That's the only way I think that works because otherwise...
Yeah, get them out of there.
You get them out of there and you get them forgotten. And then they go through the Geeks. And then you debut the new team. Who come out and probably beat them or lose by DQ. Mm-hmm.
We will get to our top 100 match. Again, reminder, our Sunday night show that we did after the Royal Rumble. If you want to hear Jeff and I's thoughts on the Royal Rumble match, we're going to be joined by Alex Pawlowski of Fightful.com. We are going to talk all about the Royal Rumble. That will be after our top 100 match. I want to thank our sponsors this month on Shake Them Ropes, MacWeldon.com. MacWeldon for all the best men's basics. You want to get high quality fabrics, You go to MacWeldon.com, try on underwear that will be better than you've ever tried on before. Use promo code STR at MacWeldon.com and save 20% off your first order. So go try it. If you don't like it, you can return it. No questions asked. Get all your money back. And also Lord Timepieces. I know, Jeff, you love your watch. I love my watch. I'm a little jealous. I got that order envy about your watch once I saw the picture, because the picture you took of that and sent out does the watch a lot more justice than even the picture on their website. That is a gorgeous watch. So if you are looking for a Valentine's Day gift, if you're looking for a new watch, don't spend $200 at a department store. Go to LordTimepieces.com. Save 10% off a watch right now with promo code ROPES. Save 10%, promo code ROPES, LordTimepieces.com. Spend under $100 for a watch that everyone's going to think you spent $300 on. And that's
an idea. There's an idea. Take that $100, buy a Lord watch and raffle it off.
I should do something like that. Yeah.
They're good people.
That's right. I'd have money left over too. That's the best part.
Mm-hmm.
If I had $100 to spend at Lord Timepieces, I would have much money left over. That's what we're talking about. Go to LordTimepieces.com. Catch the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Follow us at Shake Them Ropes and VoicesOfWrestling.com. The top 100 match this week, we are getting so close to the finish line. It's a sad time. We're at number 4, a match that we talked about a few weeks back. So many Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat matches that we accidentally watched the wrong one. But it kind of plays in because, match number 8 on the top 100 was the last Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat. We have Clash of the Champions 6, which went against WrestleMania. April of 1989, Clash of the Champions 6, the best of 3 falls match between Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. Ricky Steamboat went into this match as the NWA World Champion.
Yes.
Jeff Hawkins, give us your opus about Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, and I want to know a little bit about what it meant to you.
This to me, I mean, look, I think we've talked about this when we talked about the other two matches, but for me, 89 Ric Flair is one of the great all-time years in professional wrestling between the 3 matches he had with Ricky Steamboat and the matches he had with Terry Funk later that were set up by the Ricky Steamboat matches. For me, I mean, 89 was so weird because you had Arn Anderson come back without Tully Blanchard, and I was not smart to – I did not get newsletters at the time, so I was kind of going, what's going on with the Horsemen right now? But, you had the remnants of the Horsemen, and then the Horsemen reunited later that year. And so they had to kind of make up for all these talent losses between Dusty and Barry Windham leaving and Arn and Tully leaving and going to the WWF. And so what happened was they started a feud with Eddie Gilbert between what was left of the Horsemen and Eddie Gilbert. And Eddie Gilbert brought in Ricky Steamboat as a special tag partner. And we hadn't seen him since WrestleMania 4, I believe. So to me, I watched these matches. And, you know, all 3 of these matches, they're from my youth, so I have a special affinity for them, but they're the style I like. And when you compare it to today's wrestling, I think watching this 2 out of 3 match, look, this match is long. It's not perfect compared to, say, I think the Chicago match is a little bit better than this 2 out of 3 falls match in terms of the story that they tell. But there's an interplay between audience and performers here that I think is missing in wrestling quite a bit, because Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair are going with the flow of the audience, and they're determining what they're doing, kind of calling it on the fly here as they go along and listen to the audience's responses. Now's the time to get the heat. Now's the time to get the shine type of thing. Whereas today's wrestling, especially in the WWE, is down to the moment because they're on a clock. And here's your moves. Here's how you get to this moment. Here's how you get to your finisher. There's a little bit more artistic nuance to me to the Flair Steamboat series. And plus it's just chops and kicks and just brutality. And it feels more like a fight than an athletic exhibition. And it goes into my wheelhouse. This may not be yours, and that's fine. I understand there's a lot of people that will have some criticisms of this match. especially in the second fall when Ricky Steamboat works over the leg and drops an elbow on Ric Flair's leg 12 times, and then that's never brought up again. It's just it's a missing piece, but they do have a lot of continuity in with the chicken wing and with Ricky's knee giving out at some point. I think that's really good. I've really enjoyed the in terms of this 2 out of 3 falls match. I was watching a lot of, because I accidentally, as you note, I accidentally watched Steamboat Savage, and I was watching the officiating comparing Hebner to Tommy Young. And I just love that Tommy Young just picks his spots to be emotional and get involved, as opposed to Hebner's playing to the back row and being histrionic all the time and yelling and getting in people's faces and kind of stepping on people and getting in the action. Like when, when Ricky Steamboat slaps Flair in the face and Tommy Young just kind of walks away with his hands up. It's a nice little, just subtle comedic moment where it's like, yeah, it's legal, but man, that was kind of a jerk thing to do, even for a baby face. I liked those little moments. And of course, towards the end of the match, they've been going an hour, and you know, it's been treated as sport this entire time because they've canceled matches for time constraints. They're worried about the TV time going over because Flair and Steamboat are having such a flow that they're afraid they're going to run over in time. The commentary team here is, I really enjoyed it. Jim Ross and Terry Funk here. I think Terry Funk was a fantastic subtle heel here saying things like, well, I didn't really see that closed fist, Jim, you know, kind of that sports commentary yet still pro wrestling. That's kind of missing for me in commentary, as opposed to the uber shilling of the WWE constantly. And, you know, and plus the last run into the pinfall, where they've already been going an hour, and then they just decide to start chopping the hell out of each other again. You know what? This is all three matches are a magnum opus. They're the Lord of the Rings. They're the original Star Wars trilogy. They're fantastic matches, and I'll even include the fan cam one that supposedly got, quote-unquote, 6 stars from Dave Meltzer. To me, I mean, 89 is Barry Bonds breaking the home run record for Ric Flair between these and the Flair and these and the Funk matches. They mean a lot to my fandom. And it was a time when I was very unsure as to whether or not the NWA would survive, because the WWF was getting much bigger and expanding. So, I mean, but this is my wheelhouse. This is the NWA. This is Jim Crockett Promotions. I love it.
And it was a big WrestleMania it was going up against, too. It was the Randy Savage Hulk Hogan, which had been built up for so long. So it's not like they were going against a slouch of a show. I always like watching these late 80s Ric Flair stuff, no matter what match it is. The finish of this one kind of set up the Wrestle War match, which we had a little bit earlier on our top 100 with the whole foot under the ropes deal. But yeah, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat. Not much more you can say. What's funny about this is all of the Flair Steamboat trilogy matches, I feel, are super strong to be in this top 100 list. The match we had last week, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, probably not so strong, which is crazy with it being top 5. But we have 2 Ricky Steamboat matches in a row. This one with Ric Flair, and then next week is the Randy Savage match from WrestleMania 3 coming in at number 3. So Ricky Steamboat having 2 of the top 5 matches you must see. And I still don't think people look back at Ricky Steamboat as being a super big star like that. Everyone knows, you know, Ricky Steamboat was a good wrestler, but top wrestlers of all time, I just don't feel like people see Ricky Steamboat in that elk.
Well, I think one of the reasons for that is because he never cut great promos. And in the era of sports entertainment, what became really memorable, not that wrestling, you know, like Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair weren't memorable promos, but you remember that a lot more than the wrestling. Yeah, I just, for me, I mean, there were little things in this match that I mean, everybody complains that Ric Flair has one match and I mean, he does the same match over and over, kind of like Bret Hart. But Ric Flair is a maestro with that one match in terms of pace, in terms of when to get the heat, when to stop and give and show ass. You know, little things he was doing in this match that you don't see anymore that would still work, in my opinion. Like when he goes outside the ring and he calls Tommy Young outside and he just pulls his hair as if as if Steamboat's been cheating. It's that subtle little stuff that you're playing to the crowd. And this crowd was fantastic too, in terms of being kind of split amongst each other and just fighting amongst themselves at one point during the third fall. I thought, you know, you don't get that kind of audience performer interaction anymore, because it's become so stylized that people are waiting for, you know, the setup move for the finisher. I mean, look, WWE has done a great job in terms of their product, but they've streamlined it to the point where everybody's so ahead of the story that they know that a fall probably won't come out of nowhere unless it's a very special occasion like Goldberg and Lesnar.
Goldberg and Lesnar is a special occasion. That is accurate. Yeah, that is the big stuff from Raw and SmackDown. That's our top 100 match next week. Number three, Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat. People have been talking about this match for, 30 years now? We're pretty much at 30 years at this point, coming up on that. And then number two and number one, we are almost done. We are going to be wrapping this up before WrestleMania season. We don't know yet what we're going to do afterwards, do we? We still have no idea.
We could go back and forth and pick something that wasn't on the list, or I could hold firm to my commitment to retire from the show. That would be something. No, or you know, just maybe take fan suggestions also. I mean, get some interaction with this show.
Yeah, we're coming up on that time where we got to start thinking about it a little bit more. I mean, it's the end of an era. 2 years of going through the top 100 matches on WWE Network.
Well, the thing that would be cool is to kind of take that break to focus on WrestleMania, and then after WrestleMania, take the suggestions. I think, I don't know, maybe there might be a bit too much content going up into WrestleMania, you know, focus on really. WrestleMania
apparently is like a big show or something. It's a big show.
So I hear.
So we are going to attach now our show from Sunday night with Alex Pawlowski of Fightful.com. Talking about all things Royal Rumble. So you want Jeff and I's thoughts on the Royal Rumble? Keep listening to Shake Them Ropes 194.
What's up, you guys? Alex Pawlowski here for the Fightful Wrestling Podcast, post-Royal Rumble edition. So, that happened. We were all waiting to see who's going to come in number 30, and then... Okay, so we'll talk about that later. But first, I want to introduce my trusty cohorts and co-hosts this evening. The guys from Shake Them Ropes. First up, you've seen him a lot here recently. You saw him here last night. Jeff Hawkins. How you doing, Jeff?
I never left. where'd Anna go? I think she was offended by something I might have said.
She might have. I don't know. I hear there's lots of stuff going on. And dingoes are Statue of People's babies over in Australia. It's just a crazy thing. So along with Jeff, we've got Rob McCarron, who used to do my old gig, co-hosting the Monday Night Raw podcast before I got bumped up to the majors. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. I was forced out. I haven't given up that grudge yet. We're gonna have a heck of a show to talk about this Royal Rumble pay-per-view, all 6.5 hours of it. But first, Jeff Hawkins. Why did I ever agree to give up the money? We had
that's karma for you.
Oh my gosh, we had a Royal Rumble pool going. For those who are unaware of me, hi everybody, I'm Rob McCarron, host of Shake Them Ropes. This is the Shake Them Ropes / Fightful co-presentation of the Royal Rumble. Thank you, Alex, for joining us as well, and hosting this here on the Fightful side. Yes, we had a Royal Rumble pool going on Shake Them Ropes. I randomly drew number 23, and Randy Orton randomly drew number 23, and the worlds collided, and I was the winner of the Royal Rumble pool and the $100 cash prize that now, because of something I said on the radio, I can't claim as my own, or can I? Because at this point, Jeff, I've already reneged on one bet. Why not just be the most slithering, conniving man in showbiz? Oh,
hold on, you're officially reneging on eating the hat?
No.
Still holding out hope for that.
In my world, I haven't given up that. I haven't done it yet. But it's not that I haven't done it. I just haven't done it yet. That's all. But yeah, I won the Royal Rumble pool, and Tracy Allen won the Jeff Hawkins Memorial pool. So congrats, yes. Congrats to Tracy.
I'm still alive though, but it's the Memorial pool. Yes.
Yes. also want to thank the proud sponsor of the Fightful podcast, Onnit. Visit Fightful.com and just search Onnit, and you can find the Onnit link that I cannot find myself or haven't been looking for. I apologize. Alex, when Randy Orton came in at number 23, was there anything going in your head that said, oh, Randy might win this thing?
Well, only because I had to do the article earlier in the day about betting odds shift wildly at huge favorites in all the matches. So I kind of knew that he was winning the match ahead of time because there's no way the smart money is that much on one guy if he's not actually winning the match. I just was wondering how they were going to get to it. I was interested in seeing what they were going to do for the rest of the match after he came in. He certainly wouldn't have been my pick if I was booking the thing, but I'm interested in seeing what they do with him now.
What's really cool is the fact that, you know, if you were going to have Randy Orton win the Royal Rumble, the best person for him to eliminate was Roman Reigns. And I understand the issue with having Roman Reigns enter at 30 and you're expecting this big, huge surprise, which you really shouldn't. I mean, I believe Dolph Ziggler has entered in at 30 before. Rey Mysterio entered in at 30 and he was a big disappointment 1 year. You know, the big surprises are usually 28, 29. It feels like I don't have facts to back me up, but when has that ever stopped me? I feel like Roman Reigns being at 30 wasn't that bad of a move. And if you're going to have Randy Orton win, Roman Reigns is the guy to throw out. I mean, that's going to be the guy that gets you cheered the most. So hooray for Randy Orton. I thought the stuff with Luke Harper in the match was some of the most compelling stuff. I really love Braun Strowman's run in this thing. And there's a reason why they kept him so low, because he wasn't going to be in there for the finish. So he dominated half the match. If Randy Orton was going to win, Roman Reigns is the right guy to do it, Jeff.
I guess. I there's so much that's confusing me right now about this Rumble. Mostly that I'm starting to think that Randy Orton being the quote unquote main event of WrestleMania will not be the main event of WrestleMania. It's gonna be that situation, the Alberto Del Rio win where he comes on first. I think whoever Randy faces, are we getting John Cena Randy Orton again? Are we? I mean, because we said a couple years ago, this was a match nobody wanted to see ever again. And now all of a sudden we've waited a couple years and now we're back and we want to see it now.
Except me. Except me.
Okay.
I mean, well, that's time. Fine. I mean, it's been long enough. It's okay. Time. Give me Randy Orton, that's John fair. Cena.
So do you think John Cena retains in the Elimination Chamber? Or do you think Bray gets it? I cannot see Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt main eventing WrestleMania.
Well,
I don't see it
coming in last. You know, main event of WrestleMania is such a loose term, because him getting the championship and being one of the main events of WrestleMania, I think, is more likely to happen. After tonight, I know Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer has this Royal Rumble card, and Dave Meltzer was talking about how Randy Orton was a high likelihood of winning this match, and it was starting to trickle down early on. I stayed away from all the betting odds today. I stayed away because I didn't want to know any surprises who was showing up to the building. I wanted to go into this match fresh. So I'm glad I did. Randy Orton winning to me was something that I knew the buzz was growing, but it was still kind of a surprise. When Roman Reigns came in at number 30, I thought Roman Reigns might be taking this home, and that's how he gets his rematch with Kevin Owens. I know the cards floated out there. I know Undertaker and Roman Reigns is kind of floating out there. I know Brock and Goldberg is floating out there. I wouldn't be shocked at all if somehow the Raw title ends up at Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns wins the title in the March pay-per-view. Mm. And we get Roman, Brock, Goldberg, and Taker in like some crazy four-way main event of the show. Like, I don't think that's likely, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, because you have them all intertwined. You have Roman and Undertaker intertwined. You have Goldberg and Brock, but you also have a little bit of Goldberg and Roman Reigns. You have a little bit of the intertwining in all the other realms, and you have that WWE championship. Alex, if you had to guess right now, it's the night after the Royal Rumble. We have such a long time to go. We still have almost, 3 months to go. If you had to guess what the main event of WrestleMania was going to be, the last match on the show, what would you guess that to be?
Goldberg and Lesnar. I don't want it to be that, but that's what I'm guessing. Although after tonight, who knows? Because it's just they're pushing this thing is Goldberg has Brock's number. And that philosophy of Lesnar can dominate everyone else on the roster, but Goldberg just, you know, the spear is his one weakness, and nobody else is going to try it because you're not allowed to use somebody else's move. So it was just, I prefer to see Styles Cena again, because Lord knows they could keep doing that forever and still making it great.
It's funny you mentioned about the spear. I mean, I just off the top of my head can think of three people who actually do use that move, and it's so weird because you're right. Usually you're not going to have all these people using a finisher move, but Roman Reigns uses that move. Charlotte uses that move. Rhino uses that move, and not always any finishers either. Big Show has been using that move. It's so weird. You're right. And obviously Goldberg is a part-timer. Those guys aren't going to remove the move from their arsenal just because of this one guy coming in for a couple of months. Goldberg hasn't been able to show that he can go for more than a couple of minutes in actual action. I don't know how you do a Survivor Series type main event at the main event of WrestleMania with Brock and Goldberg. This time, if they do that match, they have to go at least 10. And I don't know if Goldberg would be able to do that.
Right. My thought is that the way that they're building this, it has to be that, you know, Lesnar screws him out of a championship match at Fastlane or something, because we know, we think we know that Goldberg is wrestling some match at Fastlane. That's the scuttlebutt out there. So if he is, I figure like he's got to be in the main event scene at some point. So he's going to wrestle, let's say he wrestles Owens. And Lesnar, who hates him so much, he comes in, ruins the thing. They go another time. And this time, Brock dodges the spear or something and is able to gain the upper hand and beat on him for 5 minutes. And then Goldberg hits the spear and wins. I mean, like, it's... They're building to something, because this whole thing of Brock just can't survive a spear from Goldberg in two straight major pay-per-views has to be leading to a logical conclusion somewhere down the line, or I don't know what you're doing with the storytelling.
Any chance, Jeff, that the main event of WrestleMania is Baron Corbin and Braun Strowman?
No, I'm of the opinion that whoever holds the Raw World title, whatever they're called, the universal title, I think that goes on last. And I think it's probably going to be Roman and Undertaker.
Yeah. Roman. And if I'm going by likelihood, Roman Undertaker, it was funny because you had all this stuff going on in the Rumble, and some of the matches corresponded to what Dave Meltzer had reported. Some of them didn't. Braun Strowman, Baron Corbin to me is a pretty intriguing WrestleMania match. And they kind of set the pace for that. That would be one of those interpromotional type of dream matches, if you will. I don't know if anyone else aside from me is dreaming about that one. Probably unlikely, but that could be a surprise one. There were a lot of intriguing stuff about this Rumble match. So let's start here in full with the Royal Rumble match, and then we'll get to the rest of the card. Alex, your number one most intriguing point. I mean, we talked about the big guys in there, Goldberg, Brock Lesnar. When you came away from this match, aside from, I know you tweeted out that you were done with this company, Roman Reigns coming three. I know that was most likely a satirical and not serious, obviously.
It's hyperbole. That's basically my gimmick, but yeah.
But do you feel like the disdain with that move is there on a larger scale? Is this something that's going to haunt them for the next couple of weeks with Roman Reigns coming in number 30? Or is it not hurt so much because of the fact that he didn't win? Like, Randy Orton won, Roman Reigns didn't. This would have hurt them more if Roman Reigns won, obviously.
Yeah.
But how long does this stay with WWE, the hurt at that Roman Reigns was the big shocker at number 30?
I think that honestly, the Randy Orton countering a spear into an RKO and eliminating him saves them a lot, because the fact that he came in at 30 when we were all thinking, you know, is it going to be Kurt Angle? Like, I know he said he's not going to do it, but 30, I mean, they already did Undertaker at 29. Who's going to come in at 30? And then Roman, and you could hear the boos, like nobody wanted him to show up again. And he came in and he eliminated the Undertaker. And then he stood in the ring, mean mugged the Undertaker, and said, "It's my yard now," which doesn't build you a lot of goodwill with even casual fans. Like, I'm pretty sure if you ask somebody who watches Raw every now and then and maybe a couple pay-per-views a year, who do you like more, Roman Reigns or Undertaker? They're going to say Undertaker. And if you ask anybody who's like a hardcore fan, of course the answer is Undertaker. So that's kind of a weird thing that they seem to be like, they're misreading what they're doing with him. Like, we'll talk about this later, but him kicking out of Brass Knucks and a Stone Cold Stunner and you know, just being Superman and then getting destroyed by Strowman to a huge pop from the audience. They don't know what they're doing with this guy, and it's just painfully obvious. But honestly, that RKO out of the stunner, I'm out of the spear, was the moment of the night for me. I popped like crazy.
Jeff, if Undertaker Roman Reigns happens at WrestleMania, Roman Reigns is going in as the heel. It was kind of 50-50 last year with Triple H. It was 50-50 going in with Brock Lesnar, but this is undoubtedly clear. If Undertaker and Roman happens, Roman's going in as the bad guy.
No, they're going to do that Rock Cena build where they're hoping to put crowds against each other. They really think that Roman Reigns is an over babyface. I'm sorry. There's no way they don't, or Vince does. I'm sorry that there's no way they're turning Roman Reigns heel. I don't see it.
I don't know if he's necessarily turned heel. I just think he goes in as the overwhelming unfavorite.
That's fine, but that's not their intent. They're not going to push it like that. They're not going to push Roman Reigns as the quote unquote bad guy here. They're going to do that usual thing. Oh, this crowd, they're opinionated. They're allowed to give their opinion. You know, what they do with Cena all the time.
A couple of stats for the stat fans out there. The most eliminations was indeed Braun Strowman. He dominated the first half of this match, and he was a superstar. This was like a 2001 Royal Rumble performance a la Kane, when Kane was that big dog who just dominated everything and then effectively didn't play into the finish. Braun Strowman didn't play into the finish. We didn't get the big moments where he was facing off with Brock or Goldberg or Roman. So we were kept out of that. I guess we're going to have to live with what happened on Raw the last couple of weeks. But Braun Strowman dominating. A lot of talk about the surprises and how Ty Dillinger, if you will, was the only real surprise on the show, even though we did have an appearance by Mark Henry, which, you know, on Shake Them Ropes the last couple of weeks, Jeff, we joked about it, that he might be the big surprise. And here it was. He was like one of the big surprises.
Well, I mean, the Ty Dillinger point is a good one as well, because I found this Rumble overall to be very pedestrian. I mean, there were no big moments. Usually in the Rumble, they try and build one big star or one new star to go into. That's why when it was time for 30, I thought for sure Samoa Joe was coming out. That was my pick for number 30 when everybody was in there and say, okay, great. That's going to be the guy they build because they have all these big names in the ring right now. And I think maybe the crowd had possibly expected that too, much like Bayley on that WrestleMania or on that Raw after WrestleMania. They expected her to get brought up. But there were no big moments. There was no big new star built here. The most elimination run was the same guy that they did last year because Braun Strowman was that guy last year. The surprises were the guys that they had 9 slots to fill.
8.
And they filled, okay, 8. You're right.
I know,
8.
Yeah, but I was counting them down and I was.
As of Raw, they had 9. As of SmackDown, they had 8.
Yeah.
And they filled it with guys like Apollo Crews and Kalisto. I mean, you know, that's underwhelming in its own right also. So, I mean, Ty Dillinger is the one guy that they bring in for a surprise. And you know what? The crowd got to say their little tens, but what did they really do with Ty Dillinger here other than, you know, make him get beat up a little bit and thrown out?
That's actually true. Like the surprises were negative surprises, if you will, like Kalisto, Apollo Crews. In a way, I can see how that's a good thing for a lot of people. Like, hey, they didn't fill them with the DDPs or the Hacksaw Duggins of the world. They let the guys who were actually on the main roster who work every week get the Rumble rub. So it's kind of a good thing for them. But you're right. It's not what we were used to when we got the shockers. There was no JBL, Alex. There was no Booker T like I had thought there might have been here in San Antonio. Were there names that you thought, Alex, that were going to come in here that you were just stunned by? Like not even the Kurt Angles, because I think Kurt Angle was just a pipe dream for a lot of fans.
Right.
Was there anyone you expected to be in this match that wasn't?
Samoa Joe. 1000%. I don't know what they're doing without him. He's not active in NXT anymore. It's a perfect spot to debut him. Have him come in, clear the ring, eliminate 5 guys. Have him come in at like 16, 17. Don't have him factor in the finish if you don't want to. But at some point, he has to be in this match. The fact that it's the only guy from NXT came up at is Ty Dillinger in the spot we all knew he had to come up in if he was coming up at all. That's not even a surprise. Ty Dillinger at 10 doesn't even qualify as a surprise because so many people predicted it. Jack Gallagher, to me, was the biggest surprise because I thought there was no chance they were going to put Cruiserweight in the match because they're not allowed to touch bigger dudes on Raw. So that was a pleasant surprise because I like Jack Gallagher, but I knew he wasn't going to win the match, so that's a wasted. All of these people coming in seem like wasted surprises. The Kalisto and Apollo Crews, they're not going to do anything. So really, it's not a surprise. You should have just had them declare for the Rumble early, like everybody else. The two guys, if you're going to have two guys come in from SmackDown, like Kalisto and Apollo Crews, why in the world is it not your SmackDown tag champs? Why in the world are Jason Jordan and Chad Gable not in this match instead of Apollo Crews and Kalisto? I mean, that kind of bothered me, actually. Those guys not being involved in the Royal Rumble event at all.
Jeff, does it hurt Dean Ambrose about how he was eliminated so easily by Brock Lesnar? Does it hurt
That was anticlimactic, wasn't it? He just kind of got dumped. Him and Rusev. The Rusev elimination also was just like, okay.
Yeah, we talk about how the Apollo Crews get the Kalisto get the rub by being in the Rumble match, and that's good for the main roster guys. But then you have Goldberg and Brock Lesnar easily eliminating Rusev, easily eliminating Dean Ambrose, who is a major player on the SmackDown side. It was. I know we had Randy Orton and Bray there at the end, but it was the part-timer Royal Rumble with a bit of Braun Strowman. That's what this Royal Rumble was. But we all knew that going in. Does that hurt the Dean Ambroses? Like Dean can probably recover from this, right? Rusev, I don't know. But these guys are destined not to be in big matches at WrestleMania based on the way they were here handled on Royal Rumble.
Well, I mean, your question is also twofold because you got to take into consideration.
I'm not exactly sure what my question was because I rambled on there for quite a bit.
I know what you're saying here. You're asking if Dean Ambrose is bitched by the fact that he was thrown out this way, and really they've had a hard time giving Dean main event credibility on his own show when they've been doing all the prop comedy and things of that nature. Let me finish my point here, because there's a bigger point here that needs to be said. When you're watching all this, SmackDown looked stupid in this Royal Rumble overall, other than the Baron Corbin elimination of Braun Strowman. SmackDown looked like a bunch of geeks in the ring there with actual superstars.
This is my favorite. I'm going to record this and make this an open of Shake Them Ropes, Jeff. I'm going to have it, mm-hmm. Your host, Rob McCarron, Jeff Hawkins saying, this is a point that desperately needs to be said. Jeff Hawkins, SmackDown looks stupid. That's the new open of Shake Them Ropes. That's what just happened.
That's better than the Dana Brooke open now, which I've been getting heat over still. So let's.
Hey, what about Jerry Lawler on commentary? I thought commentary was super fun for this match.
Sure. Alex? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed having the King back in small doses. Certainly wouldn't want him on Raw every week yelling about puppies or whatever. But I thought the commentary was great. Corey Graves, as always, shined. I agree with you, Jeff, about SmackDown looking stupid. One of the biggest surprises of the whole match to me was the Corbin elimination of Strowman and wondering if they build that. But something I had just thought of was that the final guys of the Royal Rumble were the same three who were the final guys of that Survivor Series match. So basically they're saying that Roman's kryptonite is the combination of Bray and Randy Orton, which is kind of interesting. And I'm wondering if that continues towards SummerSlam. Like, are they going to basically have these guys come together and do something at all these interpromotional, events?
I'm getting yelled at because Randy Orton won the Rumble. So ergo, SmackDown didn't look stupid in it. I don't know about that. I mean,
the winner was SmackDown, and SmackDown didn't have any announcers on the commentary team. They were just kind of an afterthought. But hey, Randy Orton wins, and Undertaker clearly not caring about going back to SmackDown. I mean, Undertaker, for as rah-rah as he was at the Survivor Series team, seemingly is done with SmackDown. So I understand what you mean. There is a lot of red though on the Royal Rumble entrant list. I mean, it was dominated by Raw guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the guys, like, I don't remember anything that Ziggler did in the match. I don't remember anything that Miz did in the match. You know, these are guys who are major players on SmackDown, and I don't remember him having, you know, Royal Rumble moments or whatever.
Of the first nine guys in the Rumble match, two were from SmackDown, seven were from Raw. They had multiple streaks of having five or more enter in a row in this match. So Raw was clearly the dominant, but we have our winner of the Royal Rumble. It is Randy Orton. He is going on to main event WrestleMania by being in one of the main matches. So we've talked about who it's going to go up against, whether it be Bray, whether it be John Cena. You have to guess right now on January 29th. Who is Randy Orton wrestling at WrestleMania? Is it Bray? Is it Cena? Is it AJ Styles? Is it someone else? Is it other? Alex, your pick. Randy Orton versus who?
I'm going to say Cena. I wouldn't have said that if they had brought up Samoa Joe, because I think that they could have done that. But I just can't see them giving Cena title reign number 16 and having him lose it 2 weeks later at the Elimination Chamber. That just doesn't make much sense to me. So I think they're going to keep it on him and let him, you know, go through until Mania, where he faces Randy Orton. And we'll see if Orton takes away that 16th reign.
Jeff, Randy Orton versus who?
John Cena.
I'm gonna go with the John Cena too. I think John Cena wins the Elimination Chamber. I think at Elimination Chamber, I don't know if we'll get even Bray or Luke Harper in the match. We might. What if we get a little Randy Orton versus Bray versus Luke, and the winner goes on to the WrestleMania? Put the Royal Rumble shot on the line. I don't know. Maybe we get that match at WrestleMania. Maybe it's a Wyatt Family Explodes.
As your main event?
As one of the main event. Randy Orton ain't going on last at the Royal Rumble. It just isn't happening. It's not happening. Right. So I think it's one. This is WrestleMania is going to have seven main events, Jeff.
You know what? I could see Cena dropping it at the Elimination Chamber and winning it on a SmackDown. I really could, or maybe even Orton winning it on a SmackDown to go into WrestleMania. I could see them making that switch.
I think you have like seven SmackDowns before between Elimination Chamber and the WrestleMania show. You have like seven or eight SmackDowns. So there's plenty of time. You can have like a big special at the early end of March on a SmackDown show where you have all these big matches. You certainly could do that. But we've spent quite a bit of time on the Royal Rumble. I want to get back to the rest of the show. We had several pre-show matches. One of the interesting things about this pre-show and bleeding into the main card, Alex, did you take anything from the fact that three of the first four matches on the show were women's matches, and that they got Charlotte and Bayley out as the first match on the main show? Anything to that?
Well, no, I think that you know, the first thing that happened on the main show was the Bayley pop, which was very big, and people in San Antonio really loved her, and that was how you started everything off. And I think the match was fine. I really enjoyed the match. I think it was odd that two out of the three on the pre-show were women's matches, but. There's only really one spot you could put them here, or you could put them where the cruiserweights went on. So I feel like starting off the show hot, you know, and giving them a really good spot there is better than kind of like between the two really big matches, which is what they did with the cruiserweights.
Jeff, anything to the fact that Bayley and Charlotte opened as a negative? Because your second match of the show was Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns for the big gold belt on Raw. I mean, these were the first two matches on the show on a stacked show. Anything to the women's match opening Royal Rumble proper and three of the first four being women's matches?
As for the opener, I think the only negative to it would be maybe expecting them to start on a high note by giving a babyface win to Bayley. But I mean, but that's in your heads as an audience. The match itself, I think it's a great responsibility to be that first match these days on major cards such as Royal Rumble. And I think they lived up to it. I don't know if it was as good, say, as the Charlotte Sasha Banks matches from, say, Raw and you know, those big title matches where they were switching titles back and forth. But this was an absolutely solid match. The crowd was into it for the most part. They weren't chanting anybody else's name who wasn't in the building. I think this was a win-win for the women's division, to be honest with you. I don't know about the two pre-show matches. I thought both of those were rather pedestrian, but I thought this one was rather good.
Yeah, I didn't see too much. I saw a little negativity on Twitter on the timeline, so that's why I wanted to reach out. It's just interesting because the last several months they've done I wouldn't necessarily call it a good job, but they've done a job trying to let the audience know that being the first match isn't necessarily a bad thing. We had the WWE SmackDown Championship defended in the opening match of a pay-per-view once with Dean Ambrose, AJ, and John. Mm-hmm. So they have done work trying to condition people that you don't have to wait to the end of the show. The first match is sometimes very, very important. And that's what they did here. I can see why people might have been negative on it, but I didn't necessarily see anything bad.
Were they negative? Hold on. Were they negative on the match or were they negative on the outcome?
Neither. Just the fact that it was on first.
The placement on the card.
You can't be negative about that. Okay. Because this is the number two pay-per-view in the WWE canon. And this is a division that is still, I mean, look, it's been around a while, but it's still trying to get its feet in terms of getting respect from these audiences, because some of the booking decisions they've made from Raw to Raw or SmackDown to SmackDown have been gobsmacked stupid. So to put the women out there first and saying you're opening this huge show in front of 40,000 people, which they announced as 52,000, I guess. Is it legit 52-20? That's my question. But nevertheless, that is a great responsibility for this division. And I don't see any negatives in it, because what else are you going to put out there? Everything else is a title match or the Rumble. They put the tag team title match on the pre-show. They put the six-woman match on the pre-show. They put the Nia Jax-Sasha Banks match on the pre-show. There's no filler in the rest of this Rumble card. So there's nothing wrong with that, and I think they held their own, and I think you should be proud of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and again, I want to, if you're late to join or just catching up on the show, I want to congratulate Tracy Allen on winning the Jeff Hawkins Memorial Pool, the Royal Rumble Pool. We will have all the details about all the side prizes on Shake Them Ropes coming up in the midweek,
I'd like to congratulate Rob McCarron for winning the Rob McCarron Pool.
Yes, I won my namesake, the Tino Sabatelli Celebration Pool on Shake Them Ropes.
Right.
I did. I was the victory. Number 23. I tweeted out that I only did this Royal Rumble Pool to subtly prove that I am the ultimate insider of WWE information. This is my way of showing you that I know all. I know what's happening. That is not the case. That is a joke. But we'll have more details on all the side prizes, and we'll get all the winner information on Shake Them Ropes proper coming up midweek, which you can catch on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, all over the place. Just shake them ropes. Search it in your search bar. Let's get into the Royal Rumble show. We've bloviated to an enormous degree about so much right now. The show opened with the six-woman tag team match. Mickie James, her proper return to WWE. Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, Natalya losing to Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, and Naomi. Naomi is back. They got about 10 minutes. The opening match on the Royal Rumble card in full. Any big hot topic thoughts on this one, Alex?
Nope. Jeff? I mean, I don't know if it's a hot topic. I don't remember Mickie James being in the match. I mean, I really wasn't paying that much attention to it, but I don't remember her being in the match. I also love that they're continuing the trend of keeping their current SmackDown Women's Champion, Alexa Bliss, looking super strong by taking the pinfall here when there were literally five other women who might have taken a pinfall. I do like Naomi is that she's using the split-legged moonsault to win matches instead of the put-my-butt-in-your-face move, also called the rear view. But really, I guess I'm hoping we're building toward a Women's Elimination Chamber match in 2 weeks. So let's hope that happens.
You could be seeing that. Jeff, yeah, Alexa Bliss, she keeps eating pinfalls, but you know what? She's a killer. Mickie James has kind of been on the side. I mean, she is the sidekick to Alexa Bliss at this point. She's hanging in the background, which is interesting for someone who just re-debuted.
She's been on television exactly 1 week. Let's hold our horses here just a little bit. I thought Naomi looked pretty good in this match, to be honest with you. I misread the tea leaves. I thought they were going to, because Mickie James has only been on TV for 1 week, give her the pin.
2 weeks.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Well, she was La Luchadora for most of that first week, but nevertheless.
But she was the side. I mean,
all right, all right.
It's okay. Once you got it twice, it's a pattern.
Can I finish my point, please?
No, Alex, Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson won the tag team titles against Cesaro and Sheamus.
Stop this. Let me get my point out here.
Go ahead.
I misread the tea leaves on this because I thought they're going to give the pinfall to Mickie James, make her look strong because she just came back. What they did made sense. Alexa Bliss should be eating the pin here to Naomi because they're trying to establish Naomi as a legit number one contender for the women's title. She can get the pin. Everybody else is involved in their own feuds. Let them go their separate ways and not screw with that any. But look, this is what you do with champions. They lose in the multi-person tags and then they get the wins in the singles matches. I was fine with this.
Alex, we have new tag team champions, and my question to you is simply this. Are Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson the greatest tag team of all time?
No. No, they're really good in Japan. I don't know about this. The whole thing with the two refs to me was just like leaves you wide open for something like this. I did think it was interesting that the same ref who caught a right from Sheamus in that match 2 weeks ago and then disqualified them after Gallows Anderson won, he's the same guy who caught the brogue kick tonight. So maybe it's like we're building this like ref thing who thinks that Sheamus has it out for him. And so now he's going to be like anti-Sheamus in other matches, possibly, because otherwise I'm not really sure what the two refs thing did for you. Because then you just had Anderson cheat to win this thing. I don't know if this gets overturned tomorrow or what, but I think it's really great that you have the guys who ended the New Day's run of 480 something days lose in about a month. Better late than never with Gallows and Anderson, I guess. We was wanting them to be tag champs months ago, and now they are.
Jeff, chances that Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson are the Raw tag team champions heading into WrestleMania?
100%.
Really? You don't think they lose them right back to someone on the show beforehand?
No, unless I think they're going to lose them to the New Day at WrestleMania. That's who I think they're going to lose in a multi-tag match.
In a pre-show match,
more than likely. I thought this match did nothing for them. And even worse, the Rumble spot where now we're going to get Cesaro and Sheamus bickering again. Oh boy, because that storyline was compelling for the 2 months they did it before they made up and then bickered and then made up again. God, I hated that, and I don't want to see it anymore, but we're getting it.
Nia Jax in the final pre-show match defeated Sasha Banks. Very short, very quick. We all saw how this was going to go. Nia Jax getting wins. Nia Jax, is she shaping up to be in the Raw title picture?
Who are you asking, me or him?
Both of you at the same time. Answer in tandem. Answer in tandem immediately.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is
going to be a fatal four-way at Mania between these two and Bayley and Charlotte. And I think someone else other than Charlotte takes the pin and Charlotte loses the title without losing her pay-per-view streak. That's what I'm predicting for Mania.
I was amazed at how strong they let her look on this. I really was. I thought they'd give Sasha a lot more offense. And don't get me wrong, as soon as Sasha walks out again, she's given up the finish for this match. I mean, she cannot hide her disdain for having to lose in a non-competitive match, or at least when she doesn't want to, which is a shame because I still like Sasha a lot. I understand what you need to do with Nia. But this was a borderline squash match, and that's what shocked me, especially against a former women's champion who's been holding her own with the quote-unquote dominant champion on pay-per-view. And that just blew my mind.
They've been very good about teasing that even Charlotte is afraid of Nia Jax.
Yeah.
They've never met in the ring, so they're using that as a kind of a story that's behind everything so that Nia hasn't sniffed the title scene, mainly because you have a dominant heel champion already. I would look for Nia to keep beating on Sasha until Sasha sneaks a win in, because if you look at the two of them together in the ring, Sasha's outweighed by she's half the size, literally maybe a third of the size. And they're playing with that story, with the giant versus the little one. So that's, I'm interested in seeing where they go from here. I think this is obviously the first chapter in a longer feud that I think winds up culminating at Mania.
Well, my critical, cynical theory is that Nia Jax will win the title at WrestleMania and break the streak, and The Rock will come out and crown her because they're related. That's my cynical Vince McMahon thinking going on right now, is that, oh, well, this will make her a big star. We'll just bring out The Rock afterwards and have her raise her hand. I don't know that that's a fact, but that's the theory I'm working with right now.
Have any of you guys ever spent like 5 minutes in a mirror just trying to do the people's eyebrow? Or is that just me?
No, I haven't done that.
Okay. Maybe just
sometimes
me.
I can do it. I can't do it on command, but I can do it occasionally.
Yeah, sometimes I do it and I look like I'm having some type of attack of some sort.
A stroke.
But anyway.
Rob's having a stroke, everybody.
He's got a touch of the Bell's palsy.
Ooh. Oh,
I have to edit that out.
Alex, you made it weird.
I made it weird. Sorry.
I may have to edit that one out.
It looks like I have something like a twitch in my eye whenever I try and raise an eyebrow. It does not look good to me.
Where's Anna?
Before we get into the Royal Rumble proper, just a reminder, you can follow Jeff on Twitter at CrapGame13. You can follow myself on Twitter at ShakeThemRopes. And Alex, what is your Twitter handle? Because I was trying to find it and I can't quite get it at the tip of my iPhone.
At Pulowski the Fourth. I'll spell it for you later, kids.
Pulowski the Fourth on the Twitter machine. Go follow him immediately. Charlotte Flair is 16-0 to start her WWE pay-per-view career. She beat Bayley. Is this an over issue? Alex, I mean, you kind of hinted at it. You think the single issue between the two might be over heading into WrestleMania and we get some type of four-way. Do we rematch Charlotte and Bayley on the Fastlane pay-per-view, or is Bayley just done for?
No, I think she gets another rematch on at the Fastlane. And I think Charlotte doesn't win so easily there. Maybe even has to cheat to win, which, you know, allows the thing to progress. I enjoyed the match for what it was. I liked it a lot. I think these two have potential to put on great matches together. I even like the finish with the natural selection on the apron, but I do think the whole, the apron, if that's the hardest part of the ring, is in danger of jumping the shark, because they're doing that a lot now. There are a lot more apron moves than I remember seeing before. And eventually they're just going to start doing, you know, simple things like, you know, where they have submission maneuvers being done on a table that have nothing having to do with the table at all.
It's more dangerous on a table.
Yeah, it's more dangerous on a table.
They can't clutch any ropes. They're on the table. They can't escape.
Yeah.
Jeff Rant.
I liked the match. I liked Bayley pulling out the Macho Man elbow. I thought that was a little cool thing, even though she had to set it up again because I think Charlotte was out of position. I thought Charlotte was pretty good in this match as well. I thought both of them worked together. I think Fastlane's going to be to set up that third person in the match. I think it's going to be a Nia Jax Charlotte Flair match where Charlotte probably wins by count out or something to that effect and just says, look, I've conquered the entire division. Okay, we're putting you in a match with the entire division. Here you go.
Random and not any way relating to the Charlotte Bayley match, but I had this in my notes and I completely skipped it. But Jeff, we had talked about on our Royal Rumble preview show that Seth Rollins was a one of the possible victors of the Royal Rumble match because we did not in any way think he was actually going to be kept out of this match. Is that one of those negative surprises where something didn't happen that we expected? Seth Rollins being in the Royal Rumble match, I thought was going to end up happening. It didn't.
I thought either he was going to end up in the match or Triple H would end up in the match and Seth would screw him. I didn't think that they were going to take that he's banned from the arena seriously because they've never been able to successfully ban anybody from an arena. And your only appearance of Seth Rollins all weekend was on NXT. That seems like a bit of a waste.
Yeah, Alex, why is WWE security so bad at keeping people out of the building?
Well, because they're not really real security. They're independent wrestlers from the area that they They give a black polo to and say, hey, stand
wait,
here.
Wait, what? No, no. Those are WWE hired security people. You know,
trained professionals.
How dare you question the validity of WWE security? How dare you, Alex?
How dare I? Santa Claus is real, Alex. Okay.
Poor form. I got to say, poor form. Yeah, poor form. Anyway, back to the show. Back to the show. The World Championship of Raw and the Universe took place. Kevin Owens defeating Roman Reigns. Chris Jericho ended up not coming into play on this one, but Braun Strowman did. This is where you see some Braun Strowman interplay in the Roman Reigns picture, which after the Royal Rumble seemed to make no sense. Like, I'm thinking, you know, Braun's going into this one. Is he a hired gun from Kevin Owens? Because that doesn't really seem to fit into Kevin Owens' play. Is it just, as Michael Cole said during the match, that Braun was upset with Roman for previous attacks and that's it? Like, you couldn't attack him at any other time. You had to wait until he was in the ring in the WWE title match? Because this seems like it's going nowhere other than to just make a way for Kevin Owens to win.
I also agree with you. I thought this was setting up a major thing that we're gonna go, oh my god, we're gonna get Roman versus Braun at Mania
or anything.
But I thought it was gonna set up, I thought it was something up major, but it's setting up nothing apparently. But yeah, I will disagree with you when you said Jericho didn't fit a factor in the match at all. Well, I mean, he did sneak in a pair of brass knucks in his skinny jeans and drop them down into the ring so that Kevin could pick them up, hit Roman, and Roman could kick out of a brass knuckle punch.
He played in a little bit. I guess what I meant to say was more towards the finish, because you would think that he would go into the finish and it was Braun Strowman. Maybe if they do a match at Fastlane, if they want to do wrong, you know, because Undertaker's probably not wrestling at Fastlane. So you do Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Roman gets a win. But then what does that make Braun Strowman look like? I'm not exactly sure, but it just seemed like you're going to have Braun and Roman at some point. And then after the Rumble, it didn't look as likely, Jeff. This is a match that was seemingly set up at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view just to not happen.
I think they may use Braun to build Roman and Undertaker. I think that might be your build there. You do Roman and Braun at Fastlane. And then maybe Undertaker comes in to screw. That way you don't pin Braun. So yeah, I mean that would be my prevailing theory. Is there anybody better at making Roman Reigns look good than Kevin Owens? I don't think so. I think Kevin Owens made him look like $1 million in this match, and especially having the no DQ and just having plunder all around to go back to his, you know, I mean his plunder matches. The past 2 years on the main roster have been the best individual matches in terms of those types of stipulations from any talent on the roster, in my opinion. Because the one with Dean Ambrose was fantastic, that started this whole thing. That was fantastic. I could watch these types of matches all day out of Kevin Owens. He's so clever in setting up his spots. And yes, you do get, you know, Chekhov's pyramid of chairs that later comes into play, but that's all part of the storytelling here. I really liked this match. I thought Roman was pretty good in it as well. Not to dissuade from him in any way, but Kevin Owens just crashed like a champ for him.
Yeah, Owens is willing to bruise all of his insides to make somebody else look good. He always has been. He'll take anything to, like, the thing I think he had at Rumble last year was he got shoved off of the top turnbuckle onto a whole bunch of chairs or through a bunch of tables or something. He'll do that. He absolutely, if I'm going to lose, I want someone to have to kill me so before I lose. And he does. And it's, I mean, that spot was great. My question was there going to be like a convention later in the Alamo Dome that they needed all those chairs for? I was wondering when there's like, if they pull out one, I totally get it, but there were literally dozens of chairs under the ring tonight, which just seemed kind of odd.
What I'm thinking happens is, you know how the first couple of rows at WWE events get those commemorative chairs that they get to take home with them?
Yeah.
What I think they're worried about is that everyone leaves early and all the chairs are gone, so they just need replacements. Like, in case, I don't know. Maybe you want to set the commemorative chair aside so you don't kind of, you know, I don't know, butt sweat, like ruin the chair. I don't know.
You should have thought about that, didn't you?
I've been thinking about the logistics. I'm all about the logistics of the front few rows in WWE. Yeah, we had a Funaki reference during the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns as they went through International Row. We got to see all the international broadcasters. We got to see quite a few of them tonight. Poor SmackDown announced, or the Raw announced table, getting decimated early on in the show, never to be seen again. And SmackDown, you look at Mauro Ranallo there, like he's the king of the castle because he's still got his table. Very interesting on the commentary side. I don't know what I'm talking about. Speaking of, I don't know what I'm talking about. Neville is the king of the cruiserweights. Neville victorious against Rich Swann. What'd you think of this match, Jeffrey? And what do you think about Neville finally reigning the cruiserweight division?
I really liked this match. I thought this was possibly the best cruiserweight title match we've had since the division has been brought in. I'm not sure of the future of it. There are things that aren't connecting, that connected with that network/Full Sail crowd, that aren't connecting with a, for lack of a better term, a more generic WWE crowd. I don't know what it is. I think it's probably the complaint that the little guys do the same moves as the big guys, or even worse, they're doing grappling amongst each other at 205 while the big guys are doing pescados and whatnot. I don't know what's missing here, but this match I thought was pretty darn fantastic. And I thought Neville makes a great champ here. And I thought Rich Swann did well for himself too in his first quote unquote major pay-per-view.
Yeah. My problem with them, with the cruiserweights on the main roster and with this match in particular, is I don't want to see these guys doing rest holds. Stop chin locking each other and jump over stuff. You know what I mean? Like that's what I loved about the Cruiserweight Classic, is because these guys did amazing things for 10 minutes trying to win matches. And it felt like they were stalling for time by having Neville of all people just put Rich Swann of all people in a chin lock in the middle of the ring, which I get it. That's what you do to build the heel. Like you hate the guy and then you cheer for the other guy to get up, and it's the way we do things, but it doesn't have to be. You could do something different with these guys. But all the stuff around that particular section was amazing and great. My one fear is that they're going to do with Neville what they do with all heel champions, and he's going to become a coward. I want this guy to be the monster of the cruiserweight division. I don't want him to even come close to losing to anybody for a while until he loses the title in a multi-man ladder match at Mania. I want him to Brock Lesnar his way through the cruserweight division for a couple of months.
That's interesting, because Rob knows my fear. My fear is that they give him a coronation with a crown and a scepter.
Well, that would be worse than my fear. So you've replaced my fear with your fear.
And if they if they don't do it for Neville, they still have Tyler Bate to work on that with. They have other options for the crown and the scepter. Neville is the king of the cruiserweight division. I think there's only upward momentum from here, honestly. Now that you have a clear direction seemingly with Neville, you cement him in there. I think this is better than what Kendrick was, honestly, as the heel champion. I don't think Rich Swann is the guy to continuously go up against him, and I do agree that WrestleMania you're going to have a multi-man ladder match, so we may not actually see the growth of that momentum until after WrestleMania. Neville winning here is the right call. Neville winning here was the only call to me.
I do want to say that I absolutely love Neville's new finisher, the heel finisher of this submission move.
Oh, yeah.
Getting rid of the red arrow and having him do this butterfly crossface, which I have decided to call the butterface, is an incredible submission maneuver that I think he should win all of his matches with.
Let's get to the big one here. John Cena finally defeated AJ Styles. There was no interference from the club. They were too busy celebrating their tag team title victory. And I wonder if that'll come into play in any way, like with AJ Styles, if they want to continue any type of club interference references. But AJ Styles loses a hard fought match. We got to the final like 5 or 6 minutes where it was just the changing of finishers, which is really cool stuff. Some complaints I saw on Twitter, and I want to get your thoughts on, was this too similar to the SummerSlam match? Was there not enough difference in here? You saw this complaint a lot with the Kevin Owens, John Cena trilogy in some ways. Anything to the fact that it wasn't different enough And if it wasn't, is that even a bad thing, Alex?
I guess I'd have to go back and rewatch SummerSlam. I've seen so much wrestling since August. I'm trying to remember if this was, because I didn't think that watching it. Never once crossed my mind did I think, well, this is the same thing I watched, you know, 6 months ago or whatever. I really loved this match. I loved this match. I couldn't believe there were some things in there. There was elements of a John Cena, like doing running vicious lariats. Like that's not a thing that I see from Cena. These are really cool stuff.
Easily the best code red John Cena has ever executed.
There you go. That's what I was going to focus on. But
this was the best pro wrestling match in January of 2017. Jeff, tell me where I'm wrong.
Oh, you liked this better than Omega and Okada?
Who are they?
Oh, geez, really? Okay. I will say this. This is the John Cena main event style, where each guy gets to do their finisher kick out. Each guy gets to do a super version of their finisher and kick out. John Cena still gets to do his power moves. It's a very good style. It's fun to watch. Old school me tends to kind of go, okay, you're going to just start kicking out finishers over and over here. But I liked the ending to this where he just keeps hitting his finisher over and over in order to pin AJ Styles. It's weird because for me, the first third of this match, I thought John Cena was going in slow motion. I thought he might've gassed himself running down to the ring possibly because there was something sluggish about him in that first third of the match that I just couldn't get over. I don't know if you guys picked up on that at all, but
big lunch.
A big lunch, yeah.
I mean, it's the Royal Rumble, extra catering.
I am concerned. I don't know where AJ Styles fits into the Mania card, and I hope it's not a multi-man match. And quite frankly, I hope it's not a Shane McMahon match.
There you go. That's what they're going to do. I don't want it, but I feel like that's what they're going to do.
They still have time to bring up Joe in the Elimination Chamber and put those two together. Take that.
Nothing would please me more than to see AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe at WrestleMania in Orlando, where they taped all those TNA matches.
With Dixie in the front row.
But that ain't happening in a Vince McMahon-produced show.
No,
I would love it, but it ain't happening.
Probably not.
But when you were saying that he was sluggish, it looked to me like it was AJ and Cena both trying to do Omega Okada, like feeling each other out for the first third, taking some time. I thought it was going to go 45 minutes, and because it's happened so early in the night, and I thought they were trying to like save energy and figure out what's the best way to get to this guy. Cena basically, all the things I tried before didn't work. Let me see if I can do something else. And Styles going, I know that he's going to try something else. What's it going to be? That's what it felt like to me. But when business picked up and it show did, it was awesome. Loved it. And it's not, wasn't better technically than Omega Okada, but I will say I enjoyed it more because I have the context of watching these guys do all their stuff for the past several months, where unfortunately for me, I don't keep up with New Japan all that much. So I just watched a great match, having no idea of the history between Omega and Okada. And that's a whole,
that was a sweet,
you know,
code red too. I just want to go back and say that thing was, I mean, that thing popped me out of my couch.
It was a sweet code red. What do you think about this six? We're only a couple of weeks away. This may as well serve as an Elimination Chamber preview show really at this point. Elimination Chamber match, the main event of the SmackDown pay-per-view coming up. AJ, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin. You got anyone else displacing one of these guys as the six? Could Samoa Joe take the spot of maybe a Luke Harper? What about Dolph Ziggler? What about The Miz? Who do you see as your six guys going into the chamber?
I hope The Miz is in it. He deserves it. He deserves to be in a title match. Before this happened, before John Cena took the title off of Styles, I actually thought The Miz should win at Elimination Chamber, not pinning Styles, not pinning Cena, pinning somebody else, like Harper off of a move that somebody else did to Harper, being a snake and getting a win that way, because The Miz, after his last calendar year, deserves a run with the WWE Championship, but it's not happening now, not that Cena's got it.
Bray, Corbin, Cena, Ambrose, Ziggler, Miz.
That's seven, and you have no AJ in there.
No, I don't. Maybe he gets kept out. I don't know.
You think maybe they just have a seventh guy on the top of the cage? He can't come in until he's called?
Sure. I don't know. You're asking me to do this last second. Maybe Bray doesn't even get involved at all because Randy's his family member.
Well, Jeff, as you know, everything I ever ask you is last second because we don't prep.
Let me bring something else up because this is another point quickly. That we kind of glossed over for all of this. No Finn Balor to be seen in the Rumble. Is he cleared in time for WrestleMania? And is that the possible AJ Styles match?
Yes, and my God, I hope so. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be a cool match on the SmackDown side. It would be tough to justify, but I mean, in this age of Undertaker going wherever he wants, if you have an interpromotional match like Braun and Baron, maybe you can do something with Finn Balor.
It's an it could be an exhibition match. The top guy on SmackDown versus this guy on Raw. Like it's
the club. You get the club involved on it. And then
I would say it's more likely that he's one of those post-WrestleMania Raw surprises than actually showing up at WrestleMania, because you have to know that he's going to be healthy for that show, and you have to know that about a month and a half beforehand when you really start building what your card is going to be. So it's not just that, is he going to be ready for Mania? Is he going to be ready in the middle of February is what you really have to be asking with Finn Balor. Quickly, rapid fire here. Alex, your best match on this Royal Rumble 2007 pay-per-view?
Cena versus Styles, 1,000%.
Yep. Cena Styles.
Yeah, I agree. The Cena Styles was pretty amazing match there. And your overall grade for the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, Jeff, what would you grade this show from a top-to-bottom scale, A through F?
B.
Alex?
B plus, A minus, B plus.
I'm gonna give it a big solid B, and that B is for Baron and Braun. Baron and Braun, your superstars heading in to 2007 and beyond. That is the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Is there anything else we missed, Alex? And go ahead and close us out.
I don't think there's anything else that we missed. And we went through all this stuff. The big thing coming out of this that I've seen on my timeline on Twitter is people seem to think that Roman eliminating Taker was a full-on heel turn, and I would love that, but I don't think that's what they're doing. Guys, do you think that's what they're doing with this? Because
no, that was not it's not a full-on heel turn to eliminate guys from the Royal Rumble match. Guys eliminate their friends all the time. I mean, it's not a heel turn to eliminate someone. It's what you do after that is what would actually.
They hype it as every man for himself. It's not a heel turn.
The point being that he then said to him, "It's my yard now," which is a very heelish thing for a guy to say.
You got to understand that Vince McMahon likes alpha males, so it's not a heel turn in his eyes.
I agree.
Go ahead.
Yes. If he comes out in a Trump shirt tomorrow night on Raw and shoots Undertaker with a BB gun and then reveals the shirt to actually say on the back, "I'm a heel now," that will be the Roman Reigns heel turn. That'll be the Roman Reigns heel turn.
There you go.
Until then. So watch out for that tomorrow. Maybe it's happening.
Who knows? Guys, Jeff, Rob, thank you so much for joining us on the Fightful Wrestle podcast. Everybody go over to Fightful.com. We have now two brands, the Raw and SmackDown of Fightful. We have FightfulMMA.com and FightfulWrestling.com. Just in case there's people out there who only want one or the other, all you wrestling fans out there who don't want an MMA in your life, we got you covered. FightfulWrestling.com and Fightful Wrestle at Fightful Wrestle and at FightfulMMA on Twitter. Please, everybody, go there and check all of our stuff out. We have amazing features, in particular, Anna Bowart's amazing Most Ridiculous that she does every week. She's got a new one up today about the Royal Rumble, all the matches on the card. It was hilarious, as always. Check us out on all the podcasts all week long. So many podcasts, you won't have time to listen to them. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Pawlowski the Fourth, PAWLOWSKITHE, the numeral 4, TH. Follow Rob, at Shake Them Ropes. Follow Jeff, at Crap Game 13. Until next time, guys, we are out.